Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Bible Chapel Winter Garden. It's good to see you today. My name is Jason. If we haven't met, I'm one of the pastors here at the church. What's been going on? Went on a little family road trip, two, maybe 3 weeks. And so, where did you go? We went up the East Coast, 4,700 miles on our minivan. Can you guys believe that? And so, yeah, we're still married, happily, by God's grace, and had a great time. We drove up, just basically up the East Coast to see some sites, Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, everything in between, and then headed west through Canada. My wife, her big exciting moment of the road trip, she got to see Adam Sandler! And she was pretty fired up about that. And Adam Sandler, maybe you've heard of him. Anyways, he was vacationing with his family while we were vacationing with ours. And so we had a great time. And am I cutting out? Sorry about that. Should I get off? Thank you. Let's see if that's any better. I can use the handheld if it isn't. And so, yeah, I'm back in town. It's great to be here with you guys. We're going to be looking at Psalm 23 today, and we're going to be continuing our Summer Songs sermon series out of the book of Psalms. And so if you've been coming here for a while, you know that each summer we take a handful of Psalms and we go through them. And it's such an encouraging time, very comforting, inspiring, edifying. And so today we're looking at a very, very familiar psalm, Psalm 23. Before I get into that, though, some of you have been asking, hey, how's Pastor Scott doing? I don't see him here this morning. How is he? And Pastor Scott is doing okay. One of the things when you're a senior pastor is letting your people know when you have a prayer request. And I was a senior pastor in Miami, Florida for a lot of years. And it's sometimes hard for a senior pastor to say this, that you have a need. And so let me just say it on his behalf. He's not feeling great. He's been doing some doctoring, and he really needs our prayers. And he leads so well here. He loves us so well here, like every single day of the year. And this is a great opportunity for us, church family, to support him, to support Miss Carla in prayer as well. Can we do that together? And so be praying for him. For those of you who kind of understand that he's not feeling great, some GI issues. And so why don't we pray? Can we do that together? Why don't we just bring him before the Lord now? Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you that you're such a good God. And thank you that we had the opportunity to worship you this morning as our good God. And Lord, we just bring our beloved pastor to you right now, Lord. And God, we would ask that you would heal him as only you can do. And Lord, we would ask that you would free him of just this trial and this ongoing discomfort and inconvenience and pain. And it's a troubling time. It's a humbling time. It's just been a difficult couple months for him. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would heal him and be near him today, that you would encourage him, that you would strengthen him. And, Lord, we need him. We need him to lead us well and to serve here well as he does. And so just bless him this morning and Carla as well and the family. Just be near them. Lord, we ask now in Jesus' good name. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 23, I trust you're there. Here's the deal. Psalm 23, familiar to many of us. 3,000 years ago, there was this little shepherd boy. He wrote the psalm. Do you guys know his name? Yeah, David. It's a phenomenal passage of scripture. It's brought so much comfort. Just think about that for thousands of years to the saints of the Lord, those that followed our God and his ways. It's brought so much peace and fulfillment through the ages, probably than any other passage. And so I tell you what, why don't we read it together?
You can just stay seated. That's fine. My Bible says at the top, a Psalm of David. Is that what yours says? Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And if I could, loved ones, just allow this to encourage you this morning. Allow this to minister to you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so here it is, Psalm 23. Each of us, we need time with our shepherd so he can restore our soul. That's what we're going to see today. And so my big idea is this, and you'll even see it indicated on your bulletin here this morning. Big idea, we need time with our shepherd so he can restore our souls. And my prayer this morning is very simple. Through our time this morning, my hope, my prayer is that you could be encouraged, that you would have your hand strengthened in God, that you would be blessed and edified, and that you, through this psalm, would draw closer to the Lord once again. And so notice there, my first point this morning, we're just going to take this very familiar psalm, we're going to walk through it verse by verse. Notice there, first point is this, we need time with our shepherd so he can restore our soul. That's right there. Verse 1, 2, and 3. It says there, verse 1, once again, the Lord, what does it say there? Is whose shepherd? He's my shepherd, I shall not want. And so think about it. Just as a shepherd cares for his sheep, so the Lord cares for his people. All right? He provides for their needs. He guides them. He protects them. And really, it causes us to ask a question this morning. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord your personal pronoun? Is the Lord your shepherd? Can you say this morning, yeah, the Lord, he guides me. The Lord cares for me. The Lord provides for me. The Lord, he protects me. Can you personalize that for yourself today? And by the way, I'm not asking, hey, do you know about this shepherd? And I'm not asking, hey, have you heard about this shepherd? I'm not saying any of that. And that's not what the psalm says. What does it say again? What does it say? The Lord is my shepherd, he makes me, can you personalize it? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Every single one of us we desperately need it, don't we? Every single one of us here this morning, go ahead and say, I need it too. I need it too. I'd need it too. Every one of us here this morning, we need our souls restored. I need my soul restored. You need your soul restored. Every single one of us, we need our souls restored. True or false? Is it true? We need it. We need it desperately. Every single one of us, we need our souls restored. I need it, and so do you. And so maybe you're thinking, well, how do I know if I need it? I don't know. I mean, maybe you need it, but how do I know if I need it? And so I just put together a list, and I'll share it with you. It's kind of a personal list. Maybe this will bless you in some way. Here's how I know I need my soul restored. I got several things that indicate to me when I, Jason, need my soul restored. Here's the first one, all right? This is my list. I know I need my soul restored when little things put me over the edge. All right? And I'm just going to invite you to be honest here this morning, but you know what it's like when little things put you over the edge, don't you? Don't you? Am I alone here? It's like little things, they put me over the edge. And And Jason, why did I say that? And why did I say it that way? And why did I get so upset about that? Kind of seems a little bit silly now in hindsight. You know, this morning I was at the coffee shop and there was this mother and she was with her two little children. They were having a nice donut together, and the mom got the two-year-old boy some chocolate milk, and she steps away for, like, how long does it take, moms, for your son or daughter to spill their milk? It takes like 1 second, right? So she gets a napkin, two-year-old boy knocks the chocolate milk over, all over the floor. And so we love our moms. They do so much. But the mother, poor thing, she needs her soul restored. And so she comes back, sees the mess. What does she say? What are you doing? You're acting like a baby right now. You just made a mess of this entire place. Everybody's looking at you. That's what the mom said. We say things similar, don't we? And when we do, it should be an indicator that I need my soul restored. All right? Why did I say that? Why did I say it that way? The answer is I need my soul restored. Here's another one. I know I need my soul restored when I can't get to sleep at night and things are racing through my head and I can't turn off the day. No matter what I do, I can't silence the noise. Tossing and turning, I can't get rest. Or maybe for you, it's getting started in the day, right? It's just hard to get up. I don't sense that I have the resources to just to get what needs to be done, accomplished today. That, not sleeping or not wanting to get up, it should be a red alarm on the dashboard of the car of your life telling you, you need your soul restored. All right, I need it. So do you. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. Here's another way I know I need my soul restored. It's when my plate is too full and my heart is empty. All right, have you ever been there? My plate is so full. I have so much going on, but my heart's not in it. And I just feel empty. I just feel like I don't have what it takes to get things done. I feel overwhelmed. I just can't do all that needs to be accomplished. I just feel empty. I just can't do it. That loved one should be an indicator that you need your soul restored. Like for me, when I see that, problem, I need to get alone with God. That's what needs to happen. Here's another one. I know I need my soul restored when I can't find my Bible and I'm not praying about anything specifically. All right? So there's a test. What are you praying about right now? Specifically. I know where my Bible is, Jason. Yeah, but are you praying about specific things right now? All right? For me, when it's like you ask me, well, hey, what are you praying about? I'm like, all right, that's a problem. All right, I know I need my soul restored when my Bible, where did I put it again? And what am I praying about? Well, nothing really in specific. Here's a dangerous one. Here's the last one I'll share with you. I know I need my soul restored when I know that it's wrong, but I don't have any self-control. Maybe you're in that place this morning. I know that it's wrong. I know that it's wrong. I know that it's wrong. I know that it's wrong, but I don't have the self-control to overcome. All right, that, my friends, is a very dangerous place to be. When I know that it's wrong, but I have no self-control. I'm okay with looking, but not touching. I'm okay with looking and not touching. Self-control, it's weak. Whatever I do to stop doesn't help. I'm telling you, that's a very dangerous place to be. That is a telltale sign that you need to get alone with the Lord. ASAP. And so notice there back again in verse 2, it says this, he makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside still waters. It's kind of funny as a Floridian, isn't it? Like we think about laying down in green pastures. I guess that's grass, isn't it? We think about laying down in grass and we're just like, I don't want to lay down in my grass, right? It's like, I got grass. I'm not laying down in it. It's not nice. It's like laying on the back of a porcupine. I ain't doing it. Is that what this psalmist is saying? I've got to lay down in my backyard. My backyard stinks. The grass is just so hard. Is that what it's talking about? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Literally, the Hebrew there means tender grass. This is the nutrient-rich sprouts of grass. When it comes to grass, this is like the best that grass has to offer. It's the lush feeding places for which the sheep could never be more satisfied. Okay, so what does that mean for me? Am I supposed to lay down in the backyard? Well, just imagine this. Let me try to put it in a contemporary format. You don't have to close your eyes. You can close your eyes if you want. Like if you were to picture, this is kind of hard for us as city dwellers, but if you were to picture like your favorite place to be where you can get alone with the Lord, where is that? Like where's your favorite place to be where you can get alone with the Lord? Where you can be still, where you can get some space so that you can get the grace that you need. Like where is that place? Picture that place. For a lot of people, maybe it's your favorite park. Maybe it's a nature preserve down the street, or maybe it's the beach, maybe it's the lake, maybe it's the mountains. I don't know what it is for you. For me, it's the lanai in our backyard. I don't want to touch the grass, but I like to look at it. And for me, it's nice. It's quiet. Nobody's looking at me. We got kids. I don't hear them. And so just imagine yourself in that place. You can hear the birds chirping. You see the butterflies. You have plenty of time, but you have nowhere to be. You have nowhere to go. It's just you and the Lord, and the Lord is calling you to himself. And as you read his word, you can sense once again that he is calling you near. You can sense his presence as you read his word and as you're meditating on it. And you're beginning to, your heart is warming to him. You're beginning to pray. You're unburdening your heart before the Lord. That empty tank is now getting full. All right? That's what the green pastures are like. It's that place where you can get the space to be filled up once again with God's grace. It's that special time with you and the Lord. That's the green pastures. That's what our soul desperately needs. That's what David is saying here. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Lying down in Scripture is a place of humility and utter dependence on God. It's that place where I'm reminded that he is God and I am not. And I am desperate for him. I can't do it without him. Apart from him, I can do nothing. It's that place where I'm reminded of that once again. It's an important place. It's such an important posture for each and every one of us. Now, what happens if we fail? All right, because I've failed in this a lot. So have you, if you're honest. And so what happens if we fail in going to the green pastures? Here's what happens. Our soul, you guys know the feeling, don't you? Our soul begins to shrivel up, all right? And as we begin to neglect our inner world, that spiritual strength about us, it wanes. It's like we either get spiritually refreshed or we get dry spiritually. That's what happens. And the temptation is, I got so much to do. I got so much to do. I got to clean the house. I got to get to work. I don't want to be late. Traffic, who knows? And we need to get to that space where we can get some grace. All right? And I know life is busy. And that might be fine for a while. It might be fine. Maybe for you this, I guess I haven't read my Bible much this week, and I guess I'm not praying about anything in particular. That might be fine for a while, but if you know the Lord, I'm telling you, he loves you, and if you're one of his children, he wants that time and that intimacy with you, and he knows that you and I, we desperately need it, and if we neglect our inner world, the day is coming when God will make you and me, he will make you lie down in green pastures. Is that what the text says this morning? Is that what it says? That's what it says. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Well, what do you mean by that? I don't know. What does it mean? Here's what it could mean. For a lot of us, we're so busy, man, and we don't slow down until we get sick. That's what happens. That's finally the time where we have the space because it's forced upon us. Maybe it could be an illness. Maybe it's a hospital bed. For me, I was gifted with shingles, all right? What a great gift, amen? Not unless you've had it, because if you had it, you know that it's no great gift at all. A few years ago, I guess it was a gift. I was gifted with shingles, and so busy. I was a church planter in Miami for a lot of years, planting our first church in my, our second church now in Miami. Busy, 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 on the go all the time, planting third church now in the Caribbean. So much goes into that, all right? On the go, on the go, on the go, all the time. My to-do list was long. Ministry was full speed. My time with the Lord, to my shame, it was short. Oftentimes unsatisfying. And I was running on empty. And you say, hey, aren't you a pastor? Yeah, yeah, I am. And I was busy working in the church, and I was busy working for the church, so much so that my time with the Lord, to my shame, dwindled. And eventually it caught up with me, and I woke up with a terrible burn. I didn't get shingles on my stomach. That's like the easy way out with shingles. I got it all over my face. Think about that. Terrible burning on my, I thought I got struck by lightning on my head, except the lightning never left. It was horrible. I'm telling you, the Lord makes you lie down in green pastures, and that's how I received it. We can't neglect our inner world without having it affect us. Notice the end of verse 2. It says, he leads me beside still waters. Here's what I know about still waters. Still waters are deep. Shallow waters runs fast and it makes a lot of noise. Still waters are very deep. This is where your soul can be restored. I read a lot of commentators about this week, and here's what they said. They say the implications of this is that it won't happen in a hurry. All right? And so as we talk about getting our soul nourished and refreshed, what David is saying here is that he leads me beside still waters, the place where the water is very deep, where the water runs slow, where it's quiet and refreshing, meaning, so many commentators say this, they say it won't happen in a hurry. Meaning it doesn't happen with our shotgun prayers, all right? It doesn't happen then. It doesn't happen that way. It's deep and it's plentiful and it restores your soul. It's not like, how many minutes do I got? 3 minutes. Let me knock this out quick before I got to go to work. I got a conference call. Maybe I can knock it out before he calls. That's not the way that it happens. It's slow, and it doesn't happen in a hurry. And this is where we live our lives. It's not a weekly thing. It's not like a monthly thing. It's not just kind of touching base with the Lord. This is the way that we live our lives. This is how we live. This is how we operate as followers of Jesus Christ. This is the key to a vibrant walk with the Lord. It's slow and it's unhurried. Did you catch that? Like, I miss this a lot. I'm preaching this message to myself today. It's slow and it's unhurried. Go ahead and say that with me. It's slow and it's unhurried. That's the key to a vibrant walk with the Lord. What's the key? It's slow and it's unhurried. It's me and Jesus and I'm alone. It's slow and unhurried and I'm not thinking about the time and it's quiet. And the Lord meets me there in that place. I'm telling you, we need time with our shepherd so he can restore our soul. Jason, where do you come up with this stuff? Well, notice here verse 3. What does it say? He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Literally, some translators say that he causes my life to return. It's like when your car is empty and you put gas in it. That's the idea. He causes my life to return. He replenishes me. He fills me up. He restores me to my original state. That's the way I should operate. But we don't operate that way. That's why we need our soul restored. It's like he gives me the joy to keep going. He gives me life back. He gives me the enjoyment in life back. He gives me that joy that I need for life back. He refills the tank with vitality and enthusiasm for living. That's what he does, man. He's such a good shepherd. Every one of us, we need our souls restored. I need my soul restored. You need your soul restored. I love what Jesus said. Jesus said this. He said, come to me, all of you who are weak, weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus is the good shepherd of Psalm 23, and he will give rest for your soul. You know, one of the great blessings, one of the great gifts of the gospel is that Jesus will give us rest when nobody else gives us rest. And maybe that's what your soul needs this morning. It's the Lord that you need. He is so good. The Lord gives us rest when nobody will give us rest. Think about that. That is true. Even the most Spirit-filled Christians in your life that are a blessing and they edify you and you love them, they can't give you this kind of rest. The Lord, he gives us rest when nobody else will give us rest. Here's a good question. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ this morning? Are you following him? I'm not asking if you know him. Are you following him? I'm not asking if you've heard about him. I'm asking if you are following him. Are you a follower? Are you a follower of the Good Shepherd of Psalm 23? Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice. That's what the Lord said. And if you don't hear his voice this morning, then it's very likely that you are not one of his sheep. Why? Why do you say that? Because the Lord said it, my sheep hear my voice. And so let me just say this, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, we're so glad that you're here. Thank you for coming. And I'd love to tell you about our Good Shepherd, all right? As a church, you should know that we love you. We pray for you. We're glad that you're here. We'd love to talk with you after the service. We'd love to introduce you to Jesus. The bad news is this. The bad news is because of sin, our relationship, your relationship with God, every single one of our relationship with God has been broken. Sin is what separates us from God. And the good news of the gospel is that Jesus loves you. For God loves the world so much that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. All right, Jesus died for you. Jesus rose for you. Jesus will hear your prayer. Jesus will forgive you your sin. Jesus will change your heart and your mind and your life. And there are so many testimonies in this room of Jesus doing just that. Jesus is God and Jesus is alive. Jesus is the good shepherd of Psalm 23. Amen? Jesus can be, and I pray would be, your shepherd here this morning. You can follow him, and I pray that you would. Maybe you've never heard this explained to you, but Christianity is not like other religions. Christianity is about faith in a person. Jesus is that person, Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus came into the world, and he suffered, and he is betrayed, and he dies. And the Bible says that Jesus, on his way to the cross, he saw his friends, and they abandoned him. They turned their back on him. And as Jesus being crucified, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in that moment, God the Father turned his back on God the Son, and Jesus felt the full weight of our sin and the consequences of our sin. And then Jesus says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then he said, it is finished. And so this morning, as we now sit here 2,000 plus years later, all that is left for you and I to do is to trust and believe and to follow the Good Shepherd of Psalm 23, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would invite you to do so today. He can be your shepherd and he can be your God. Jesus says in the Gospels that my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Isn't that great? Man, I need to hear the Lord's voice, and so do you. It restores our soul. It gives us life and purpose for living. Notice there, verse 4, continuing on. Here's my second point. Cling to the Lord in the valleys, all right? Notice there, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And first of all, right there at the beginning there, the valley of the shadow of the death, actually shadow of death is a Hebrew term. It's just one word. It describes a place where a shepherd would lead his sheep down, 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 deep into this valley with the purpose of taking them to better pastures on the other side. But there would be a time where the cliffs were so high and the sunlight, it would get blocked out. It's a very deep and dark place. Jason, what does this valley look like in my life? I mean, we live in Florida. There's not a cliff anywhere. Well, in our lives, I think it looks different for different people, first of all. How it looks for you might be different than what it looks like for me. It can be. It can be the valley of the shadow of death. It can be. It could be the loss, the sudden loss of a loved one. It could be an unexpected hospitalization. It could be sickness. It could be illness. It could be terminal sickness or a terminal illness. It could be a job loss. Maybe relationship strain or a bad breakup. Maybe it's failing grades at the end of a semester. I would just invite you to think about that. What does it look like for you? It's the valley of the shadow of the death. It's different for different people. But it's that one or two, maybe three times in our life when we go through the hardest thing that we've ever gone through. That's the valley of the shadow of death. It's one or two, maybe three times, four times in life where it's the hardest thing that we could be going through. Maybe it's relationship conflict. Maybe it's marriage conflict, and it's teetering and it's tottering. Are we going to make it? Are we going to not make it? It's that difficult. It's that alone place. It's the darkest night. It's the hardest thing. It's the deepest valley. Do you know this valley? Have you been through it? What does David call it again? He calls it the valley of the shadow of death. It's a very deep place. It's a very dark place. Have you been through it yet? The point is, cling to the Lord in the valley. And so maybe as you're reading this, you're kind of like, okay, so I'm reading verse 4. I'm kind of tracking with you, Jason. I think I'm following here. The reason the sheep or me go through the valley is because the shepherd is leading. But Jason, I have this question, like, why would the shepherd lead me into this place? Why would he take me through this? It's so painful. It's so dark. I feel so alone. I'm so troubled. I'm vexed in my, I just hate that. Why is he taking me here? Why would he lead me to this kind of place? I don't want to go there. Why would he take me there? Maybe you're in that place this morning. Why would he take me here? And if I could just be honest, I don't have all the answers. I don't completely know. But I know that he's the good shepherd. And I believe he leads us through the valley so that he can lead us to a better place. It's so that he can lead us to a better place. God has seen to it that the grazing pastures for his flocks are not an offense. It's like from place to place. It's from very treacherous territory that divides the pastures. And if we find ourselves in that place, it's because he's leading us through. In fact, isn't that what it says in verse 4? I think the best part of verse 4 is the word through. Do you guys see it? Even though I walk, what does it say? Walk what? Through. The point is, cling to the Lord in the valleys, even though I walk through. Through tells us that we will get through if we cling to the Lord. So many times in the valley of the shadow of death, we think this will never end. I don't think I can get to the other side. But as we cling to the Lord, man, that's a great part of the passage. Even though I walk through, the promise here is that he, the Lord, will get us through. No matter how dark the moment feels, he will get us through. And as we wait for the Lord, and as we cling to him in that season of hardship, even in the deepest valley, it will have a conclusion. Even though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death. For me, the best thing is, no matter what's going on, no matter what I've done, no matter when I lay down, no matter when I rise up, when I'm in my car, when I feel like I'm all alone, on my way to work, when I'm coming home, when I'm fired up for the Lord, or when I'm discouraged, God will get me through. I love that, man. He's such a good shepherd. Meaning, you and me, we have nothing to fear. Amen? What are we going to fear? He's there, and he will get us through. God will get me through. Praise the Lord. And so the point is, cling to the Lord in the valleys. And there's one more thing I want you to see in verse 4. Notice the very end.
your rod, what does it say? Your rod and staff, what does it say? They comfort me. There are two instruments that a shepherd uses. One is a pitcher of correction and one is a pitcher of protection. Correction, protection. Rod and staff, correction, protection. The rod, I learned this week, is actually, literally it could be translated club, but it doesn't quite sound as nice. So they translate it rod. The rod actually, literally, it could be translated club. It's something that the shepherd would carry. Oftentimes it'd have a metal tip at the end. Sometimes studs would even be driven through it. So if a predator animal was coming this way, the shepherd would have his rod to protect the sheep. It's a picture of the Lord's care. And the Lord does protect. And he has a staff. The staff is the curly end of the shepherd's stick. So if a shepherd would get lost, the curly stick thing, he would bring it back. He'd be like, you're walking over here. And he'd be like, no, 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 come back this way. What are you doing over there? No, come back over here. All right, get back on the path. And your rod and staff, they comfort me. All right, sometimes we need the protection. Sometimes we need the correction, but it's both. They comfort me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. It's correction and it's protection. Notice the last couple verses. Here's my third point this morning. Get filled and be spilled. Notice there, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. Now notice this. Do you see it? It says that my cup overflows. That's so good. David is describing the joy of being in a personal relationship with God, a relationship that has no end, as we'll see in verse 6. I love the last part of verse 5, my cup overflows. Do you know what that feels like? Kind of experientially, do you know what it's like to have a cup that overflows? The psalmist here is telling us that God keeps my cup running over. He says, I don't think I ever have to think or worry about having enough. I mean, he's there. He's so good. He always fills it. This ought to be a constant in the Christian life. It's like we get empty, but go to the Lord, and he will once again fill us up. He's talking here about abundant faith and abundant strength and abundant endurance. And what hinders this? Of course, it's sin. God has not called us to live depleted. God has not called us to live empty. God has not called us to live, I just feel drained right now. God has not called us to live that way. He's called us to live in the overflow. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. You know, my wife and I this week will be celebrating our 13th wedding anniversary. Not too shabby, huh? Praise the Lord. And it's great to enter into the teens. Like 1 through 12 was pretty good, but like it's just something about, yeah, we're 13 years now. That's legit. Like I feel like we're kind of somewhere now. And I guess for those of you married longer than that, you're just like, well, stick with it. But like praise the Lord, like 13 years. I mean, the Lord, he is so good. He's so good to us. And I love her more today than we did back then. I tell you, in our first year of marriage, if we would have taken a 4,700-mile road trip, it would have gone much differently. And, like, praise the Lord. Like, we're together all day long. All day long. What do you talk about? I don't know. It's just so nice to sit next to her, hold her hand, get to talk about just stuff that we don't get to talk about normally. It's so nice. It's so nice. But if I've learned anything after these years of marriage, it's this. If I'm going to be any good to my wife, Gretel, and if I'm going to be any good to our three children, 2 7-year-olds, 1 4-year-old, if I'm going to be good to any of them, I need a cup that overflows, right? I need a cup that overflows. I need abundant grace. I need abundant patience. I need love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And God has not called us to live in the empty. He's called us to live in the overflow. The point, get filled and be spilled. I'm telling you, this has so many implications for our church, for our
ministry, for our small groups, for our marriages, for our parenting. This is where we must remain. Like, just think about the benefits of having this characterize your life. Think about the blessing this is for your family. Think about the blessing this is for your children or grandchildren. That this is how you, Christian man, live your life. That this is how you, Christian woman, live your life. Abundant faith, abundant grace, abundant love. Not empty, not depleted, not lacking, not wanting. It's overflow. God keeps my cup running over. What a benefit this could be to our children, to our church, to the ministry where you serve, to your small group, to your accountability time. What a blessing this will be for us. Praise the Lord. Pray that we could be these kind of Christians living in that overflow. Notice there the last verse, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so it doesn't matter if I've lost my cup. It doesn't matter if you've broken your cup. If you're a child of God this morning and a follower of Jesus Christ, then I absolutely have this promise in my life that goodness and mercy shall follow you and me all the days of our life. No matter where you've gone, no matter what you've done, no matter where you're at this morning, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. All right, I need Psalm 23, and so do you. And so with that, why don't we go ahead and close our Bibles? And with a minute or two remain, I'm going to challenge you this morning. This has been such a great passage for me. And I'm going to challenge you to make a decision right now as an act of your will. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. All right? You guys ready? Here's the challenge. Here's the invitation. Here's what I'm going to ask of you this week. Before you come back to worship next Sunday, my challenge to you is this. Would you spend 3 hours alone with the Lord this week? This week, would you spend 3 hours with our Good Shepherd? That's the challenge. That's the invitation. That's my challenge for us. Will you spend 3 hours alone with our Lord, with the Good Shepherd of Psalm 23, the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you do that? 3 hours? Yeah, 3 hours. Got a lot of hours. I'm inviting you to spend 3 hours with Him, with the Lord. So here's what you do. Choose a time. You got to choose a time, all right? Because I know how it is once you leave here, all right? It's like, okay, let's get something to eat. Oh, all right, I'm going to take a nap. Oh, got to get ready for work. Monday's coming. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. What did he say on Sunday again? I forgot. Friday, maybe they'll talk about it next Sunday. It's like you have to choose a time. So I'd invite you to choose a time where you can get alone with the Good Shepherd of Psalm 23. Choose a time, any time. It's your choice. Choose a time. Choose a place. Where's your place? Where's your greener path? I don't know if I really have that. Well, you need a place. Find a place. It's the greener pastures. Maybe it's your bedroom. Maybe it's your closet. Go into your backyard. Go to the beach if you need to. Maybe it's your car. I don't know. Wherever. Choose a place. Choose a time. Lastly, choose a passage. I would recommend the Psalms. Spend some time refreshing your soul from the Psalms. Get your hands strengthened in God. Start with prayer. Invite the Lord into that time. Maybe it's worship music in the background. Maybe it's reading through Psalm 23 again. Maybe it's reading it. It's reflecting on it. Maybe it's writing down thoughts in your journal. I don't have a journal. You need a journal. Get a journal. Write what the Lord is teaching you. Pray about that. 3 hours alone with the Lord by next Sunday at this time. Can we do that? Can we do that together? I'm telling you, you'll be blessed and edified. Your family will be blessed. blessed and edified through that. Why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet now? We're going to close in worship. Let's worship this good God that we serve. Let's worship the good shepherd of Psalm 23 now. Let us sing together.